we just made the other day.
How long have you been taking drops?
3 years, but the drops were not the reason. Back in 69, I met Jodan Sloan in Los Angeles, and he had the D-Cell, and that purified and energized water, and I was in my late 40s, and that stopped my aging. So I've remained a pretty good-looking 47-year-old for 40 years, and then the drops started to make me look even better. But the drops did not stop the cause the major agelessness. That was caused by the D-cell. As a matter of fact, we started to go into the D-cell with Ion, and Ion said, you want to make something better than the D-cell, and that led to the RNA drops. But it was inspired by the D-cell phenomenon. All right? Isn't that neat?
Wow. I'm in awe.
Hey.
I haven't even seen you.
That's right. Here we go. Looking it up, I'm getting real close. I thought I had played and didn't play this, but we did play that. And now we do this, and you're going to love this. That's September 1890. September 2nd. It did two. We go to September 28th.
But, you know, thinking about it, though, what really can happen now that we know basically the truth after all this time? What can happen now about those that did it back then?
Nothing. They all died. They're all dead.
So I think it's more, I mean, I'm still interested in knowing who you believe was behind it, but I think it's more important that we focus on 9/11.
Yeah.
And, you know, because 9/11 changed so much of our world and what we're living through today. And that was a complete inside job. I mean, you
right,
had
it's
to
even
be...
more so. I have the facts on that. Ion, I did not participate in 9/11. I did not have the inside track that I did in the Kennedy assassination. But with Ion, I got all the details. And, we can, you know, someday show you where you can hear that. We won't
okay,
explain it.
Hey, Bo, I think you were talking to me, and I didn't answer. I think once again I was muted. Whoops, that's second time. But what name am I going by? Love Job or just whatever. But, 911, I just want to say I completely agree. Whatever the government says on that, I think Bo and Bob are completely insane to believe the government did that. And I just want to say, if I say anything about it being an inside job, it's only for entertainment purposes only. It's just all a big joke.
Yeah, I agree with
that. Here's my joke. I didn't believe the shit from the very beginning because I'm not a goddamn idiot, and I can see with my own goddamn eyes that the goddamn building fell down like they were fucking demolished. Give me a fucking break.
I feel like they did it like intentionally to show how stupid the average American is. Like, we're going to drop
point.
This building right in front of you on TV. We're going to let you guys see this shit, and you're still not going to question it. As a matter of fact, you're going to be even more upset to want to go and follow our agenda.
Exactly. Good point.
Yep. Even though I do not agree with you guys, I think that Lee Harvey Oswald did it, and I'm sticking to the lone nut theory of history.
What?
and what I'm going to play today, I do not believe this crackpot information that I'm going to play you right now. It's absurd.
I see where you're going with it.
Nobody believes anything.
And marijuana is completely bad for you.
Yes. Yeah, it should be banned, and I support Barry Goldwater. Barry Goldwater, the last decent president. Did he become president? No, he didn't, but he should have.
And pit bull fighting should be legalized.
Okay, here we go. September 28th, 1990. A good stretch. I've got the volume up. Here we put this here. And I go like this, and Up it goes.
Greetings, Evergreens.
Greetings, Ben.
That was a very good conversation we had in the last reading. It's dealt with broader things. I'd like in this reading to deal with a particular little questions that niggle at my mind. And so there'll be many kinds of questions, I think, unless the answers go into larger unforeseen areas.
Please.
All right. I appreciate the information the Evergreens gave me on the setting up of the assassination of John Kennedy. I'm not going to pursue who they were. That's clear, not to do that. But I'd like to ask a few questions about the methodology of how it was implemented. For example, was there a double for Lee Harvey Oswald?
No.
So I used the Torbett document. Do you know what that is?
Yes.
Nomenclature of an Assassination Cabal. The Evergreens told me several years ago that that was a pretty accurate document for what they could tell me at that point.
Yes, but no double.
Were there doubles used in other areas?
No.
Of the cutouts?
Not of the cutouts, no.
So, beg your pardon?
No.
Yeah. So though the authors who dealt with the double phenomenon, in the absence of knowing what really went on, they could see that as a possible scenario.
Yes, basically because of the conflicting reports.
Right. I guess what took people a long time is to realize how high up Lee Harvey also was in the chain.
Mm.
He wasn't at the top, but he was quite involved in the CIA than researchers probably realized at the beginning.
Yes.
And then once they saw that, well, I guess they oscillated between how much if he was a dupe, and if he was a dupe, then there would be doubles, but he was higher up in the chain so that he didn't need to be doubled. He knew what his level was.
Yes. But you see, if you understand that which he was told, that which he knew, and that which would happen, they're not necessarily the same.
Right, he was all the cutouts were misinformed.
Yes, absolutely.
All right, then. What is instructive about the Torbett document that they ever, why they recommended that as the best thing? What is the importance of that document?
The importance of that document is because it points to the fact that the timing was not recorded accurately, the timing of the events. So therefore, that was not reported correctly. That shots from the school book depository could not have been fired by Oswald. It points to that, you see.
And also, you mean the timing of, like, when the policeman was killed?
Yes.
Those kind of events?
Yes.
Which many other researchers had noticed in the 60s before the document came out. I guess Jim Garrison had investigated and covered that, right?
Yes.
But the Torbett document solidified it?
Solidified it, yes.
And?
But they tried to match the timing to the supposed timing. And so to match the supposed timing was necessary to create a double, but there were no doubles.
Oh, I see. That created that wrong scenario by not knowing the right timings.
Yes.
So another aspect of the Torbett document, it was the way it implicated several agencies.
Yes.
That was not totally accurate, but it showed the cross-governmental kind of fact.
That was the point, yes.
Yeah. The Evergreens said, I think, that most involved died by 81, but I also said they said that the last guy involved died in 88. Was that like a high-up cutout?
That was one of the remaining five.
Oh, so they didn't all die by 81?
Not all.
Yeah.
No, none of that. But as far as cutouts, as far as most principals, yes.
Many had died by 81?
Yes.
Yes.
But you see, the ingenuity of the problem was the last cutouts were removed by people who did not know why those people were being cut out. Why they were being removed.
Yeah, that's a key question that lingers from the previous reading. How much did who was I mean, only six people knew, yet they're ordering, somebody's ordering these people, somebody to kill these other people. They just took the orders.
Yes.
And that's pretty crude. That's doing their duty.
Yeah, doing their duty, yes.
And they didn't know why they were doing it.
They were told some story or other.
So that's how it's been kept secret.
Yes.
By the guys doing the killing and the mop-up operations never understood really what was going on.
Exactly.
And they were told bizarre scenarios of why they're doing nothing related to anything that came out of the Kennedy assassination, I guess.
Nothing at all.
Yeah. And that's still going on.
Somewhat, yes.
If something surfaces.
Yes. But it becomes more and more obscured as time goes by.
Right.
Because of those individuals remaining who know
what?
Know very little. Much of that material has been sealed. Much of the findings were sealed because that which we told you was surmised by several people in the year following the assassination. Never printed, but kept hidden.
Surmised not by researchers, but people around the events.
Yes.
Who knew the danger of pursuing that surmise.
The danger is following it too closely.
Yeah.
Because if you follow it too closely, you would be removed.
And some of those people who saw that realized they'd be removed.
Yes.
So a lot of people know what went on if they were pressed to say it, but aren't going to make a public issue out of it.
No.
Yeah. Privately, they could agree with what you told me.
Yes.
What was the point you were saying? That'll come back. Okay. Now, Hoover, the argument Hoover had with Kennedy was whether the mafia existed. So it occurred to me later, if the mafia was involved in the assassination, did Hoover involve those people? Because he didn't know who they were.
No,
believe in them.
No, it was other agencies. CIA brought in people, CIA contacts, anyone that had a beef was brought in. Anyone who would be a fall guy would be brought in. Even though those would realize the contingencies in this plan were that, first of all, Hoover was protecting himself. Considered Kennedy a blot. Proposed the idea. Others took it up. Involved other organizations.
That he did not know about.
That he did not know about.
So it became a six-man operation, each one running a little empire of cutouts and knowingly did not want to tell the other main principals, the other five, say.
Yes.
And they agreed not to be told.
Some of them did not know the existence of the others.
Yeah, Hoover did not know all the people involved?
No.
He did not know the other five?
No. He knew some of them.
Right.
But you realize that he saw them as as labor leaders, not mafia.
Right. Matter of fact, from his patriotic point of view, he thought they were patriots.
Exactly.
Right, so the six guys, was one of them more knowledgeable of all the stuff at the time than Hoover? Of all the implicated people, implicated cousins.
Oh, yes, one knew.
More.
Oh, yes, one knew more.
Because of their position.
Yes.
But they did not begin it. They just were in the position, once the plan was set in motion, to have a bigger overview.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. All right, so why was there such huge coverage of the Ricky White story?
Because there's so much interest in it.
It wasn't triggered by somebody trying to expose somebody.
No.
It was a surfacing of our collective unconscious obsession.
Yes.
Because something real did surface with them, so...
Absolutely.
Everybody kind of said, oh, maybe this is something.
Yes, because people still have the feeling that not all the answers are there.
And that includes people in the major networks.
Major networks, yeah. Yes.
All right. I think that that clears up a couple of questions. Do you have any question on that assassination that just comes to your mind? Okay. All right. In dealing with the P2...
Okay, Bo and Love Job. That is my latest part. There's much more to come, but I don't want to go on too long. So basically, Bo, who was he saying triggered it? Who started it?
He was saying that Hoover, J. Edgar Hoover, was the main character behind the idea, and then all these other organizations that had something to gain by Kennedy being shot joined in, even though they didn't have a connection towards each other or understanding together.
So he mentioned six men.
I haven't finished.
I haven't finished. I want to give you that. Now, there are six major figures involved.
Which six?
That's what I'm going to explain. Now, you see there where I asked, in the previous session, which you didn't hear, in 1989-90, the Evergreens would not give me any other names, just Hoover. It's too dangerous. And you hear me say, you're not going to give me the name, so I won't pursue that. And that's the way it was in that year, 90. But in 91, 92, 94, the Evergreens gave it up a little bit and started telling me the names. Okay. So what it begins basically on the street, Hoffa, everybody knows, even the Senate Select Committee in the 70s concluded in June 4th, 1979, that the Mafia probably did it. And G. Robert Blakey, the whatever he was, attorney advisor to the thing, he wrote a book in 1981 saying that. It was Marcello and those guys. Now, that's true. And we have a regular participant on this show named Corbin Regano, who has had a conversation with Lovejob. His father was the go-between between Jimmy Hoffa and the Tampa, Florida guy, Trafficante. Giancana is up in Chicago. Trafficante's down in Tampa. And you can Wikipedia Frank Regano. It's R-A-G-A-N-O. He's in jail, or he went to jail. But he wrote a book and exposed how what he knew about the Kennedy assassination. So he's right in the middle of it. So Corbin grew up in Florida with the FBI sitting in his driveway and across the street all his youth. So Corbin turned out to be a pretty interesting character, and he's often on the show. He didn't call in today. So we have a personal connection. We got Corbin Regano, his father's known to be involved as an insider, and then you have me, who was involved on another level. But now we're playing...
I can't believe Corbin. That's the connection to Corbin, yeah.
Yes, you haven't heard, I guess. So he's been on. We talked about it last week. In detail. Anyways, so here you have Hoffa is pissed off that Robert Kennedy's going after him. Hoffa is the Teamsters, but the Teamsters is controlled by the Mafia. And there's a very good book by James Ellroy called American Tabloid. It's a trilogy. Have you ever heard of James Ellroy, that author?
I've heard of the name, but I can't make the association.
If you ever get a chance to read American Tabloid, that is the closest fictionalization docudrama to what I'm laying out here. He's very good at it. And there's three books. So what happened is that Hoover hears about the tension around Hoffa. So he says, okay, I can direct this. They could never get away with it by themselves, but if I'm in on it, and the reason he's in on it, this was played earlier today, is that J. Edgar Hoover hated the Catholics. He thought that there was a Catholic conspiracy to bring together church and state. He actually had a very conspiratorial mind. And so when President Kennedy became president, he was very nervous about that. But when President Kennedy tells him in 62, you're going, you're out of here, unless you go after the Mafia. Now, Hoover did not want to go after the Mafia. He didn't believe they were a Mafia for different reasons, which you can see in the present TV show Boardwalk Empire, Martin Scorsese's fucking classic best scenario of the history of mafia, which he's been doing all through the years. He gets it right in this TV series called Boardwalk Empire. Highly recommend it. It's about the rise of Hoover and the rise of the mafia elements in 1919, 1920, 21, 22. The real history of America. And, you know, Scorsese probably couldn't have done that 30 years ago. Didn't have enough information, but he certainly has it now. So Hoover did not, and they show Hoover ignoring the labor businessmen. He just he's after communists and anarchists. That's what his big thing is. And he's also, after the blacks. And what's his name? Marvin Garvey. So he's not interested in these Italian businessmen. So anyways, he says, I can help Hoffa and achieve my goals because Kennedy's going to remove me. And that will be proof that there is a Catholic conspiracy to take over the most powerful office in the world, the head of the FBI. And I'm going to be patriotic and stop it. He genuinely believed he was doing a service to his country by stopping the Catholic takeover. Okay, so that's his mental state of mind. And he's pretty extreme by the 60s. He's been in power for 40 years. You know, he's very out of date with what's happening. So they bring in, I eventually find out that the other people named, the other characters, are Nelson Rockefeller. He's the guy that you just heard the Evergreen saying was in a position to know more than Hoover. Then there was a guy in the military, and who am I missing here? You got Rockefeller and a guy in the CIA. This is a theory. I'm just speculating. The fourth man, I don't personally believe it, but people have urged me to stress it. But it looks like the military guy could have been Curtis Lee May, who actually is undocumented as doing the Northwoods operation in the early 60s of blowing up an American passenger airplane over Cuba so they could invade Cuba. You ever heard of that conspiracy? The operation Northwoods?
Yeah, that's far-fetched, though.
Well, it's pretty documented by the author.
I thought we were playing a game. Never mind.
Yes, that's right. Very good, very good. I forgot that. I quickly forgot what we were fucking doing. That's right. That is from Oscar.
Bob, I have to stop talking. Stop talking. You're going to get me killed. This is crazy. We must stop.
Well, I've said enough. You're killed.
I want to hear more.
I've already said it. And
right, here,
now I'll end up with this neat little twist. Lee Harvey Oswald, the Evergreens eventually give me his CIA membership, but we already played the part where he told me that he was officially a CIA operative. He was told that Kennedy had to be warned. So he took a pot shot at Kennedy in Chicago and in Miami. All right? One of them may be canceled. I'm a little rusty on this. When we play it later, throughout this next 5 days, I'll get the exact details. But two warning shots. So he did that. He knew not to kill Kennedy. But in Dallas, they told him that, no, it's okay if you hit him. You know, do what you want. Warning shot, hit him, whatever. So Oswald took the shot, and one of his shots hit Kennedy, and the grassy knoll was another one. And there was another shot, I think, in the above Oswald in the school book depository. Now, the Evergreens will later give you the actual trajectories and details of these shots. We will be playing them later over the next couple of days. That certainly will get everybody listening killed. So change your name when you listen to that. Here's the thing about Oswald. So here he is. He did not intend really to kill. He was basically just giving warning shots. So when the Warren Commission happens, Gerald Ford and those guys are not lying when they say Lee Harvey Oswald, acting alone, did it. They know that he was a shooter, but all of the other kinds of investigative journalism show that he couldn't have been a shooter and this and that. That's the cliche. That's the kind of stuff in the JFK movie. Lee Harvey Oswald actually did kill Tippit, the cop. He was running away and things were getting out of control. So Oswald did do it, but there was other people involved, and Jerry Ford and them can say, we didn't know that. The documents aren't released until 2038.
So yeah, but you can't say that Oswald had the shot that made the head explode.
Yes.
From
here's what people don't know. Even Oliver Stone, he gave a press release a couple days ago, outraged at what's being done in the media, and they're all ignoring his movie, which at least he was given kudos back in 92 as creating an alternative myth, a bona fide alternative myth, and led to the freedom of loosening up the archives. But it's 20 years later, nobody gives a damn, and he's pissed. So he says, everybody can see, and you mentioned earlier, that the head goes forward, right?
No, I said it goes back and to the left. It gets hit from the front.
Right.
I mean, it explodes.
That's right. Just checking to see if you got it. Now, here's what people don't know. You talk to a doctor or someone's aware, when you shoot someone in the back, the head goes back, and it looks like a shot from the front. But the Oswald's shot in the back, an important shot, caused the head to go back. Now, he did get shot by the front on, but it wasn't the real lethal bullet, even though it hit his head. So it's all mixed up there, and I'll be playing the details of this later, of how the shots happened. But what people miss is that the body ricochets backwards from what is logical. Do you know about that?
No, I can't say I do right now. No.
Right. Not many people know it unless they're a doctor. So I will end with that. One day, if you don't get the chance to hear this show over the next weekend, next few days, this will be archived, 122 hours. One day you'll have the time, work your way through it, and you'll catch a lot of the other details I'm going to broadcast. But this is supposed to be a lighthearted show, and Lovejob's getting nervous, so we will drop the topic.
Yeah, y'all killing me, man.
You'll be okay, hand job. You just got to be
right. Well, that remains to be seen. But
You've come a long way. Do we interview? Shall we go a bit into Bo's life and invoke some of his humor? That's what you usually. That's what we usually do. We actually take a curiosity and interest in our guest.
And you guys especially intrigued me, so I felt like I should dive into you guys. But yes, please, by all means, ask questions.
All right. So what is a few lines that you've come up with? Few new jokes. Can you give us some exclusive, some your latest jokes you're working on that people don't know yet, or do you want to keep that secret?
No, it's okay. I've actually been talking about a lot of religion.
Yeah.
Like I said, religion confuses me because you don't even have to be bad. Well, according to the Bible, you don't even have to be bad to go to hell. You live your whole life unselfishly loving, but still you have to be saved to get into the kingdom.
Yes.
Like, this is the doorman of Club Heaven, checking IDs. Wait a minute, what year were you born? Again.
Yes. Did you know Jesus personally? Yes, I went to high school with him.
I believe you did. And he took RNA drops too.
Yeah.
Hey, Bo, I was thinking about that. If strikes your fancy, feel free to use it. I don't care or anything. But, I've always wondered, like, where is the line where God will be like, yeah, no, you're going to hell? Like, who is that guy that just missed the cut? You know, it's like, ooh, you kicked that dog. Remember that dog you kicked in eighth grade? Ooh, that just puts you right over the edge. You're going to hell.
Not only that, when you look at all of the religions across the board, like, which one do you pick? It's like a roulette, you know, you're playing, you're spinning it, and whatever you land on based on where you're born on the planet, that's what your faith is. So you got to compete against all these other faiths to get into a place for an internal happiness. It just doesn't make sense.
You know what the grievance is that you have? That you have to make up jokes about religion. It's such a ridiculous topic. Why should you even have to make jokes up? So give us a sample of a joke you may come up with, a desperate grievance of ridiculous nonsense that cultural institutions are fostering.
Like, I was raised Roman Catholic.
Oh, and that explains it. That's a wound.
Yeah. It's a good religion if you want to be back in time for the game, but not so much if you're a young boy.
Yeah.
Because the priest, they like to, you know, fuck
them. The priest will rape you, yeah.
Fortunately, I was never touched by an angel. Matter of fact, I was the only child at our church that wasn't molested. And I can't tell you how rejected that can make a child feel.
No, do it again. I missed that. You were saying that you were the only one not, and then what was the next sentence?
I said I was the only one that was not molested.
Molested.
Yeah, and I can't tell you how rejected that can make a child feel.
Yeah, okay, got that. Yes, you were. Yep, that's a wound.
All the other kids teasing me, ooh, Father Joseph won't touch you because you got the cooties.
Okay, that's good. Like, that's good.
I want to be touched, too. It wasn't until I got older that I realized what was going on. And then I was like, well, heaven needs some new representatives. Because these priests do not make me want to go. Not if they're going to be there with the upper hand. No, thank you.
So that is this a joke or the facts?
Both.
Both. Yes, joke and the facts. Okay.
Well, I mean, it's a bit of a stretch, but at the same time, I did grow up Roman Catholic, and I got to see that the insides behind that. I was never a choir boy or an altar boy or anything like that, but I went. You know, I had Catholic school, went there, had to go through the communion, a confession, all the other C's. I forgot offhand. But I, you know, Roman Catholic, it's what my background was. But then I, searched.
Did you hear about your friends back then?
Which friends?
Your boyfriend or boys, you know, the guys who got molested, did you hear about it when you were young?
My boyfriends. I was like, wait, where's the buddy?
Hey, it's a post-Catholic world. Don't get uptight about it.
No.
Have an open mind.
No, actually, that part was extremely made up. I don't recall any of the, that.
Okay, good. So, okay, that was a good joke. So where are we going? We going to another joke?
We can, sure. I mean, I believe in the, I've written a lot of information about conspiracies, in my opinion, that I thought were funny at the time. I've followed conspiracies for a while, and one of the conspiracies I read is that reptilian entities possess a lot of the major power people around the planet.
Yeah.
I was like, wow, the first time I read it, I was just like, man, you think the reptilian that possessed George Bush was like, fuck, mine's broken. This motherfucker can't do shit right. Look at him, he's reading a child's book upside down. I can't work like this. I need to talk to my union rep.
Yeah, you can't work with them. It's damaged good.
I got a grievance. There's a grievance again.
That's good.
I don't believe all the conspiracies. Like the ones that say Obama is Muslim. Obama is not Muslim. Now with all the drone bombs he drops on Muslim nations, he's not. Or if he was, he's not a very good one. That shit was funny to me.
Each to his own there, Bo. Each to his own. Do your own
thing. Yeah. It's funny, and until I see him drop some bombs on some Caucasian countries, I'm starting to think his white half is racist. Spread him around, Barry, you Nobel Peace Prize winner, you spread him around.
Good.
Is somebody blowing into the phone? Is he? That's why I call. That's why I call all the Obama supporters the diehard Obama supporters Obamazies. Because they don't care. They don't care what he's doing or how he's doing. They're just like, oh, more family photos. Please. Post them on Facebook. Hurry. Let me tell you what Michelle is wearing. Please show me more pictures of them big four-headed children.
Oh.
Sasha and the other one. Show me more pictures of his smile. There's no way he would lie to us. And no, I'm not a Democrat. I'm not a Republican. I'm fucking aware. Something ain't right. I'm not voting in the past election because I knew who was going to win. Yeah, the banks. The ones that back both sides, them. So, and then I say, how many people realize that the Federal Reserve is actually a privately owned company? Very few say anything. And I was like, see, that's why we're getting fucked. Nobody realized that. And this is not information you should be learning from a comedian, people.
That was so, a good line. I like that.
I digress. Yeah, I like to, you know, touch on the things that are at the foundation of what is going on with us, and we don't even realize it. Like television. I stopped watching television maybe a year and a half ago. Because it's the programming. And there's a reason why they call it television programming. That's exactly what the fuck is doing.
Yeah, it's not entertainment, it's programming.
Exactly. And the commercials are loud as heck. You gotta talk during the programs or the game. You can't speak. You can't hear each other during the commercials because it's so loud. You're like, what? What? I'm sorry. What did you say? I said, oh, wait. Let's wait till the game comes back on to talk. It's nonstop. Everywhere you look, food, the food that we eat, the fast food, McDonald's. I don't even think we can call McDonald's food. It doesn't rot. Food that does not rot is not food.
That's right.
It's bullshit. Like, chopped up used yoga mats. Cutting patties and flavored and dipped in grease. I don't know. But I do know that flies won't fuck with it. And what does that tell you when a fly would rather land on actual shit? Leave it alone. But Americans will eat it. Americans eat like diabetes is just a myth. I heard about it, but I don't spend no time thinking about it. Yeah, but you're 400 pounds and you're 5'2". You might want to pull it up there, Bubba. If he needs a break, well, you still have feet.
I like that line. Because they have to chop their feet off a lot.
Yeah, they fatten up so they can no longer feel. And they're like, and when you look at the Golden Corral, you can practically hear the mooing when you go to the Golden Corral. This is like plates and shit. And there's a reason they call it Golden Corral. Got a lot of heifers in that motherfucker. I actually think they should call it the trough. Just line them up. Sit down and eat at the bar. I think that's the reason there's going to be a shift. Planet will shift on its axis. America is making it top heavy. With the people. Just a matter of time. You ever see someone that was so fat that you just knew there was no way they were wiping the hole?
Huh. What was that last line? Hole?
Yeah. You ever see someone that was so fat that you just knew there was no way they were wiping the hole?
Oh.
Yeah.
That's the approval I was looking for.
So what is the reaction to Federal Reserve on this kind of topics? Do you get laughs out of it or puzzlement?
Both.
Both. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of people that are waking up. A lot of people know what's going on. They know, even if they don't know exactly what's going on, they know something's wrong. They know something is not working correctly, and there's a reason behind it. Somebody's behind all this shit. There's got to be, because there's always somebody that's in charge. That's the system. There's always somebody that's over somebody.
So right, but you got to. It's closer to the TV shows than you would believe. Those guys that take over are knocked off by other teams. So the top position is very vulnerable. They actually wouldn't want it. And there's always other guys sneaking up, maybe even a few women, and like Hollywood scenarios, knocking them off.
Oh, without question.
Yeah, and it's not. The humans are forced to be a robot. It's just a big, complex corporate world. So it's the system carries on its own momentum. But nobody actually can do anything, and they pass the buck. They actually cannot implement the human scale, chemical body, ethics and morals, or legislation, because it's too much complicated environmental interaction dependencies.
Okay.
So it's a car, you know, heading over the cliff. And you're on your own, and you'd be well served if you heard us. And then you get the drops, and it'll soften the blow when you land in the rocks.
I like the plug. I brought that back around.
Yeah, the plug.
Yeah, back to the top.
There's doom. There's doom. It's death all the way around, but the plug. Get the drops, and. You start surfing the death and doom, and then you're on top, and you ride the wave.
Yeah, you'll land. You actually fall slower. So when the car goes over, the bus goes over, you're going to land on everybody else because they're going to hit the rocks first. And you just, nice soft landing.
There you go. It'll be soft and cushy, except for the bones.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you can avoid the bones, you'll be landing with a smile. Because you're like you're floating on a cloud of titties.
Yeah. I expect to hear some jokes based on the RNA drops over the next 2 months. I'll give you 2 months to mock me, to make jokes about this idiot who claimed he'd got the best thing going in 13,000 years. I'm giving you new material. I'm being eccentric for you.
Well, you know, but in all fairness, I mock everything I come in contact with. So,
right.
You know, as special as I believe you to be, Bob, you're not special.
I will not be spared.
Yes, exactly. You along with everybody else.
Yeah, I've been giving you good material tonight.
And I appreciate it, Bob. I won't forget you for it.
Yeah, you got any words? You got to work that chromosome 14 in there.
The chromosome 14. Now, see, tell me more about. Well, we're going to turn it into an interview session again.
Yeah.
All right. The chromosome. I know when you were saying there's 23, but the 14th one, that's the one that regenerates.
Yes, it's the only one that does the switch in you. If you feeling empty, feeling lack, and you decide to become a heroin addict or a child pederast, it's the thing that switches your mind and emotions to implementing that. It also can switch you to feeling really good in a healthy sense. It is the transformer, the mutator, the switchgear, the interval, the thing that does.
I didn't mean to cut you off, but obviously, pedophilia is big talk amongst the secret societies as far as, you know, David Icke. When David Icke's, and I've listened to a lot of David Icke, and I believe a lot of what he's saying. So you're saying at this 14th chromosome, this is what they're actually going after when they're molesting these children.
No, the chromosome 14 makes the pederast believe it's acceptable to do it. His fastest path to joy, he gets in a weird positioning that he's going to like kids, and he accepts it, and he's got no problem with it. It's almost like the chromosome 14 makes you feel good about whatever you're doing.
I see. It's so they have no conscience about it.
You, right, right.
And, but it's the actual energy that they're after.
Right.
I see.
It's a switchgear. So our RNA drops put a incredible new information in there that makes the chromosome 14 switch to making new cells. Allows the RNA to do that to the DNA and make. Now the you can look it up, the chromosome 14, and it has rings and arms. The rings and arms is unique to the chromosome 14. So when you read up on it on whatever scientific site you're looking at, they have it all backwards, but you will see the reference to rings and arms. That's what's unique about chromosome 14. It has both. Now, I have not seen this. I have not, don't even have to believe it. But this is Ion's explanation to my medical genius wife for when she has to give a bit of a scientific explanation and satisfy the Inquisition when they ask her, how does this stuff work? Why does it work? That is what we were told by Ion. And it's very obscure, very unique. And you never got that kind of information from Bashar, Edgar Cayce, or anybody else. The Evergreens. I mean, the Evergreens and Abrahams.
But Bob, it's not a competition, though. You know that, right?
Well,
I mean, you're not
it could
really
be.
Guys.
Push
no,
comes to shove. Push comes to shove.
The idea is for oneness. That's what I've been gathering from all these channelers is that, you know, you want
No, no, we're not oneness. Ion denies that. Ion says we are two-ness. It's the distance between you and you is the key drama in you and in everybody. And we are not collectively united into a oneness.
But ultimately, the universal law is that we are all one.
Ion says there are no laws. There are no laws in the universe. That's radical from a spiritual source. That's right. Not one law. Not even the law of attraction. That's a big mistake, the law of attraction. Ion did come up with a law, and here's what it's called. The unlawful degree of magnetism. Unlawful. Covered his ass. Not saying the law degree of magnetism. The unlawful degree of magnetism shows that the law of attraction is not possible. Now, Ion says you can be, do, have whatever you want. So you could create a reality where the law of attraction works. But it's quite frustrating to go that way.
Hey, I'll say this, Bo. It's not a competition, but Bob is winning.
Yes, that perfect line. Excellent. We've got to use that.
You know where I got that line? It's from my wife, Bob, who's talking to me, and she said, well, that line comes other places, I'm sure, but I was talking to her, and she was calling me out on something, and I said, this sounds like a test. And she said, it's not a test, but you just failed. She wasn't kidding. That was her woman logic there for me.
That is a great line there. That's excellent. I'm not competing, but I am winning. How did you say it? It's not a competition, but Bob is winning. Yeah, I like that way.
Right.
Now, here's the thing. We compete with those that try to put significance into their statements. We're not for significance coming from logocentric statements. So we're competing with all those that insist on saying something with some kind of particular message. Because why would you believe anything outside of yourself? You don't even have to listen to your own mind. Ion's big slogan is never mind. Never mind. Now, it would have been hard to do that 50, 100, 200 years ago in the literate phase. But here in the digital environment where you're getting information overloaded by machines that are not even talking to you, though they might like to, you might think they're talking to you, You can actually live without much mental activity today. Everything's being done for you anyways.
Well, that's interesting.
You know you can't die, Bo? Technically, they can keep you alive forever in the hospitals. So on their materialist level, they have arrived at, you know, immortality. They can keep you functioning with their machines. If you, I guess, pay for it or whatever reason comes up. You can, for the first time, a human can survive existence and not succumb to death. That's an interesting point to consider.
Hey, Bob, my brother is big on working with, he's trying to figure out how to the logistics of the resurrection. So that's what Alex is working on these days, so you know.
Okay. Because, well, we've heard a lot about that from Ion. Did you want to add to that?
No, I haven't heard what Ion said. What does Ion say about the resurrection?
Ion says there's no beginning and no ending. Ion is the first wisdom source to say you are eternal and we will give you the practical implications of it. For example, no matter would have any walls. So that's why the electrons could bounce all over the place. When you have eternity, there's nothing to reflect back off unless you make a wall. Also, you would not require energy. The myth that you need energy is denying your eternity.
Well, all it is, right?
What?
I mean, all it is energy, right?
No, all is eternity. A big now. Going nowhere,
okay.
And no beginning, no ending. Energy means you're making a problem. You're making friction.
Well, now that's not different from what others have said too. I mean, everyone's saying that we're all eternal.
Yes, but they don't. But they go into energy talk and repent talk and resurrection talk. They start adding concepts to it.
I would need to know more.
They need to make rules. There's no free lunch. There is. There's a free lunch constantly.
Okay.
Free lunches are good. Free lunches are good.
So the cultural laws and rules, Ion is the anarchist to knock that out. Now, you don't become irresponsible slacker. There's still tension that he calls contrast that forever shows up in your life. But you learn how to make it more and more dim. But you can't avoid contrast because to be creative requires contrast. So Ion has come up with a healthy way of interrelating opposite energies, or let's not call it opposite dynamics. And cultures make them good and bad, which confuses the issue with that concept.
Right, thoughts, you know, beliefs are just thoughts we keep thinking.
Yes, Ion says, listen to this, see, that's close. Ion says a belief is a thought that you've been thinking for a long time.
Yeah. There's not a lot of difference from what you're saying and what I've been studying from the others as well. I mean, but that's a good thing. I'm glad to hear that because...
Well, there is something different.
Radically, I'm not saying... There is
I'm going to show you. I'm going to fucking ram through your head that there is a difference. This show does not stop till I get through Bo's head. Here's how to do it. Anything said, the mouth is a limited medium. Everything that's been ever said, been said, written down, posted, and then used in talk shows. If you think that Ion is saying things, you're missing the multi-level media resonance and interactivity that Ion is doing. On our person, on the Ion forum, you've got 616 posts by Ion, and they were not done by a human being. Now that's talking on another level. That's using the electric and chip body environment and communicating. Bashar cannot do that. Abrams cannot do it. Ion talked a lot of statements. I used to say the good thing about Ion is everything Ion says is bullshit, but you have to marvel at the rapid production of bullshit. That's the important part of ion. And then...
I'm not questioning that he didn't, or the entities didn't do that. I'm not questioning that.
No entities involved in ion, not an entity.
Okay, the energies, the dynamics, whatever.
Yeah,
however you want
the dynamics.
Okay, that's fine. I'm saying that but we're all on the same team. We're all on the same idea.
There's no me in team.
Well, there is a me, but not an I. But there's an I in identity. So, and that's
I
what
we're... I insist not even consciousness.
All right, well, then I'm a bit confused by all this shit, then.
You should be. I do would like you to get confused. That's how the mind starts to relax.
Okay,
so,
right.
What does he mean, no consciousness, Bob?
He means that, and then there's different ways of figuring it out, but you don't have... something behind your eyes that is your ball of awareness. There's so much. I like to say that you could, the spaces between yourselves, if you took them out, the physical cell matter would collapse. 6 billion people would collapse into the size of a sugar cube. And the non-physical that was taken out would be that huge. So it's the distance within the cells, between the cells, which the ion in physics plays a role in. Interesting how ion named itself ion for subatomic physics talk. The distances in you are so huge, and that's non-physical. That's the majority of what you're made up of. Another interesting thing that ion said. The Pacific Ocean, if you go down into the Pacific Ocean, explore it, you will find that it's bigger than the universe. Now, of course, it's hard to get your head around that, but you've got to get rid of the normal perspectives that your eyeball engenders in your culture. It's start looking at dadaistic or surrealistic paintings to get the other non-visual dynamics in the Pacific Ocean to figure out how could it be bigger than the universe? That means the planet is bigger. This is actually the center of the universe, but not in any geographical Vatican orientation, geocentric. It's just that the differences between layers in our physical reality are so intimate and overlaying and punning on each other that any visual mapping of that is usually pretty useless.
You mean like another dimension or something?
Yes, or think of sound. Sound, I like to say, what you can see is not real, what you can't see is real.
Say that again?
So that brings in the acoustic.
What did you say, Bob? Can you say that again?
What you can see is not real, what you can't see is real. Now that brings in acoustic, proprioceptive, and other non-visual senses. You might be tempted to say frequency, vibration, resonance, but that's limiting.
I dig it.
And you know, caveman, early caveman, non-cultured, non-technologized, even by speech cavemen, could not see their bodies. They didn't know they had feet as we see. See, they're working with the non-visual. And when they died or transitioned, they hardly noticed the difference. These are some of the statements.
Okay.
You like that one? These are some of the statements Ion has made.
Yeah, I like that one. Can you say the last one again? That was good.
When cavemen transitioned, he doesn't believe there's any death, so he won't use that word. When cavemen transitioned, they don't notice the difference in their situation.
Because they didn't have a language.
Yeah, they didn't have any of the cultural overlaying, what Ion calls mortar. They were quite unwittingly, quote, ascended by default, I guess.
I see.
It's a neat idea. They didn't even notice that they shifted to another. In other words, if you're going by what you see, you might notice it's changed. But they don't go by what they see, so they don't.